A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
And this is Glenn Van Zutphen sitting in for Jason this weekend. And Neil Humphreys is with me, as he usually is this time of the week. Neil, of course, author and newspaper columnist, humorist. And we're going to talk about some subway trains.
Yes.
Across three different cities.
We are, because this week's beautiful place, I have chosen the MRT itself in Singapore. Because sometimes you need context. You need perspective. I, like every other Singaporean, complain when it comes to the MRT. If the train is 4 minutes late, it is the end of my world. Mm. You know, I've been living here 22, 23 years. That's how I feel. And I know it's a controversial topic, particularly this week, because the fares have just gone up,
yes,
haven't they? On
yes.
the trains and the buses. 6 cents more on adult card fares for both modes of public transport. It shocked me. I was like, eh? It was 77 cents before I left. Now it's 83. Even I noticed the difference. So I see why some people would feel that the MRT doesn't feel like a beautiful place right now. But let me tell you this. I went to New York, and I love the New York subway. Got me to Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, even Staten Island on the ferry. It got me everywhere. And I love the New York subway. However, there are caveats. The first day, my mother joined me in New York, as I mentioned. And the first day I took her out and I'm like, Mom, let's take on the real authentic New York subway. We're on the subway and within 20 seconds, this rather aggressive, belligerent chap gets on and tells us he's going to do some breakdancing in the carriage. And he starts doing it. So he's doing backflips along the carriage. All right, that's fairly harmless. And then he starts, which was a weird cross between breakdancing and parkour. He starts hanging from the hand grips in front of us,
nice,
upside down, like Spider-Man in that scene where he kisses Mary Jane.
Wow, sweet.
So he's hanging upside down. But he had the weirdest stick, sales spiel. He said, hey, be lucky, I'm dancing for you and I'm not robbing you. 5 years ago, I would have been robbing you. I'm
nice.
Not robbing you. I'm asking for you. I'm like, my mom's only been here 30 seconds and she's being accosted by a guy hanging upside down, essentially ordering her to give him some money, because if she didn't give him money, he'd be mugging her, which I think is a very strange sales pitch.
It's kind of a passive-aggressive sales pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, you know, and so that, and then there was others, and then they constantly coming through the train, give me money for this, give me money for that, and I literally would run out of money. You know, I'd give, you know what it's like, I give 50 cents to that guy, I give a dollar to that guy. Then the sixth guy comes in the carriage, and he's giving you his story.
Sure, sure.
And you've literally run out of money, and you feel bad because you've given all your loose change to the five previous guys.
And everybody has a story,
and everybody in New York has a story.
Yeah.
I'd get up early, I'd take my daughter to wherever we're going, Times Square, and there's a homeless guy. This happened every morning. There's a homeless guy, you know, asleep across all six seats, right? Nobody disturbs him. Everybody has respect for him. And, you know, you sometimes leave a bit of money for him or whatever, but this would happen every morning. And so every morning I'm giving my daughter a sort of dummy's guide to New York history. I'm talking about the homeless. I'm talking about the rich-poor divide and the racial tension, because every single one of these homeless guys was African-American.
Yeah.
And my daughter's asking me, why are they all black? Why are none of them white? You know, and you do it and you try and be very liberal and you educate your daughter, but you're thinking some mornings, I just want to go to Times Square.
I want to get there.
I don't want to talk about the history of slavery or the rich-poor divide or the homeless problem in New York. Every single morning, Glenn, without exception, there were homeless people sleeping on the trains.
Of course,
you know the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
There were people begging for money. There were people sleeping on the subways. And then there's a logistical part. In the rush hour, there was never a train any quicker. On my particular train, the Q line, there was always between 5 and 8 minutes apart, which doesn't seem that bad. But in the rush hour, you can't move.
Right.
And then you've got a homeless guy sleeping across six seats anyway.
Right.
So the overriding smell of the New York subway was body odor.
Not
and
pleasant.
Urine.
Yep.
That's the smell of the New York subway.
I was in London in June, and I did not notice nearly the number of homeless people in the tube. Now, is that a correct observation?
No, I think that's fair, because straight after New York, I went to London, as you know, and I saw some, but mostly around central London. I saw one particularly unfortunate case in Charing Cross where the homeless guy had left where he'd slept the night before, but he'd left a deposit, shall we say.
Oh.
Exactly.
Yikes.
So that was a wake-up call. So the homelessness was apparent in London, but it was nothing like New York. But what was interesting about London, to bring it back to Singapore, was the price. My mother warned me and said, it's gone up a lot since you've left. Now, I know Singaporeans have legitimate concerns and grievances. You know, 6 cents is a substantial rise per trip. I bought this off-peak. I stress off-peak. So you can't use it until it's after 9:30, a daily travel card in London to use on the London Underground. That means you can go on the trains within the London Underground, but only after 9:30, right? Mm. One day, it cost me £13.
Wow.
Yes, wow. I nearly collapsed, yeah. Richie told me. £13 for one day. That's about 23 Singapore dollars. Yeah. Now, it takes me the best part of 2 weeks, I'm not exaggerating, between 10 days to 2 weeks to spend $25 in Singapore. And I use it every day.
Yeah, right.
So you've got some serious social issues in New York and in London for to a lesser extent. You've got the price factor. It's a lot more expensive in both New York and London. So when I came back to Singapore, Glenn, I was practically kissing the MRT seats. Of course I wasn't. There weren't any. Yeah. Everybody was standing up. I'm not going to sugarcoat
but
everything.
We have to say, despite the recent breakdowns, you know, the system is getting old. You know, certain lines now are reaching the end of their first life. You know, besides some of those issues, and to be sure, they have been very inconvenient for a lot of people.
Yeah, of course.
But you gotta say, the MRT and the buses here are amazing.
They're the best.
They're clean, they're modern, they're air conditioned.
They're the best.
You know, stand in a New York subway on a hot summer day.
Oh, I've done it.
Without the air conditioning.
And in London.
Yeah, and in London as well, right? And it's just brutal.
I've written about this extensively many times. I have a lot of sympathy with the London Underground and New York because you get penalized for being first. You know, the London Underground is essentially a Victorian antiquated 150 model.
50 years old or whatever.
And the MRT looked at New York and London and Melbourne and learned. And took the best and avoided the worst. And so, of course, it has the benefits of being, don't forget it, the MRT only opened in 1987, I believe, with the two lines, you know, the north-south line and the east-west line, the red and the green. And I remember that. I remember there just being two lines in Singapore. And forget about it. Forget about going to Buangkok, which is where I live now. You'd need about a week and a compass, you know, to get to Buangkok in the 1990s. And yes, trains break down. And yes, we are particularly dependent upon our public transport system.
Yeah.
More so than other countries that have more cars, that have a hinterland. I get all of that. I really, really do. I've lived here my entire adult life. It's an inconvenience when an MRT train breaks down. Equally, I've been on the London Underground when an entire line has broken down.
Mm.
And you know what everybody does in London when an entire line breaks down? They do this. They just took and move on with their life. It's not the end of the world because it happens so often.
Sure.
Breakdowns, line failures are pretty much a regular occurrence in London life. We are blessed and fortunate in Singapore that when an MRT train does break down, it is Armageddon because it just doesn't happen
It's
that
such a
often.
Rarity, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And if a train is 4 or 5 minutes instead of 2 or 3 minutes, it's a bit of a big deal because we're not used to it. And yes, the trains are packed. And yes, there can always be improved services. But I don't know about you, Glenn. I've been on 20, maybe 30 different city public transport services around the world. Singapore is streets ahead. It is the Joseph Schooling, the gold medalist of public transport systems. And we should be proud of it. We like to tech on things. We're a whacking culture here.
Yep.
But a beautiful place all day long, the MRT. Love it.
Neil Humphreys, as always, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you again next week for some more interesting commentary on the world around us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.